day, but it's a day to celebrate, a day to remember all of those who have paid the ultimate price. Can we say amen? And how many are thankful that Jesus paid the ultimate price? That we could live with hope, eternal life, salvation. Amen, that we could come together. I love what Pastor Trish said earlier, that it's not the end of the week, it's the beginning. And we set the tone and we create an atmosphere for what God wants to do for us in this next week. Amen. I love when we have graduates, regardless of what age they are. How many know there's a sacrifice that's paid for that, to get a degree and to a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of money spent, a lot of things that goes into that. But I believe God can take what is placed in our heart through knowledge and execute it through wisdom and cause us to be in the place that he would have us to go, as Jeremy was saying, to be world changers and to affect the kingdom. We don't ever limit in this church that to be active in the kingdom, you have to be a preacher, a singer, a songwriter, a Sunday school teacher, whatever. How many know God anoints doctors, God anoints teachers, God anoints accountants, God anoints people? I believe in a calling and a capacity that you can be a force of change wherever you've been placed. Can you say amen? And so whatever that might be, that God will work in your midst. I believe he is a God of strategy. I believe we are strategically placed. Have you ever been in a place and say, Lord, why am I here and how did I get here? Amen. Only to look back and think, oh, I get it now. I get it now. I see what I was learning there. I see what I was gleaning there. I see who I was under. Amen. How many know you can learn just as much from a bad leader as you can from a good leader? You can learn. You can either learn what to do, or you can learn what not to do. and probably all of you can say amen to that. You know, you've been under some, and you think, "Whew, I know that I'll never do that." Right? I was thinking about the other day, the infamous. As I was thinking about the graduates and the baccalaureate the other night, the infamous statement that probably most of you in the room that have made that said, "When I grow up, I'm never going to do that." When I have kids, I am never going to do that. I'm never going to say that. And then you catch yourself doing and saying that. And you're like, oh, okay, now I understand why they did that, right? Kids all the time, well, everybody else's mom lets them do it. And my response to that is, I'm not everybody else's mom. Amen? Yeah, because if they were, they probably wouldn't be doing it either, but... You know, it's okay if you don't get to go to every place that you've been invited. It's okay if you don't get to do everything that you think you should do, because if you truly value instruction, you will learn that there are some things that moms and dads know that, you know, if you'll trust the wisdom, or those who are in leadership over you, if you'll trust the wisdom of that, you may not always understand, but you will understand it better by and by. Amen? Amen. So I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord this morning. I'm thankful for a time of celebration in our nation. I'm thankful for the word that we have heard over the last couple Sundays. Danny Phillips had an incredible word for this house and an in-season word. Dr. Howes ministered for Mother's Day, cried more than I think I've ever seen him cry, but it was a great word of revelation and a kickoff to what he was about to do in Africa, and it has been an incredible trip. It seems of impact, and a life-changing event in South Africa has been impacted, but not only Dr. Howes' ministry, but those of you who have sowed into it and prayed as well. And then last week, we had the honor of hearing from our worship pastor. Pastor Beth shared a word about independence not being a virtue, and that the need for the church, the gathering of the body. I mean, no, the scriptures says that fail not to assemble yourselves together. Anybody ever got a package that says some assembly required? Right? So get the Allen wrench and get ready, because, you know, there's some things that the parts will only function when they come together. And I want to tell you, I am a believer in the body of Christ. I am a believer in connection. I am a believer in what happens when we come together in the blendings of our spices. How many know if you only put flour and lard in a cinnamon roll, it would not be appetizing, but if you throw in a little bit of yeast, get some sugar, some vanilla, some cinnamon in there, the end result is something that is palatable and flavorful, because it is the blending of the coming together of that produces something that is desired. Amen. And so, some people are sweet, some are salty, some are spicy, but we need it all. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the word that's already been shared this morning, and the ministry that's already happened. Amen. So before we went into those series of sermons, we had been talking about the road to Emmaus. And when God began to reveal all of those things to the disciples, the scripture says, beginning at Moses, or another translation says, beginning at the books of Moses, through the Psalms and through the prophets, all things concerning himself. Wow, what a powerful encounter when Jesus literally walks with you in the journey and he begins to reveal to you all things concerning himself. How many of you can say that there's been a greater revealing in your journey of Jesus, that, you know, when you were born again, you might not even knew what that meant, but in the journey, God begins to reveal himself as your Savior, as your comforter, as your provider, as your king, as your friend, as your brother. He begins to present himself in that, and you begin to understand all things concerning himself. Amen. We understand that the old covenant, the Old Testament, is nothing but a tutor and a foreshadowing of what Jesus was coming to do in the person of Jesus Christ and at the cross. And so that when we see the icons of the New Testament and we begin to see Jesus revealing some things to them, he is taking those things from the old covenant of the Old Testament, and he begins to say to them, even when he would stand up in the synagogue and when they would begin to pour out the drink offerings in the temple and the synagogues, he would stand up and say, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. How many know Jesus took a drink offering from an old covenant and he became that drink offering for us? He took the lamb of sacrifice, the exodus out of Egypt, and he became our lamb and our exodus out of the bondage of sin. Can you say amen? And he became our mercy seat, and he became our baptism, and he became all of those things. Why? So that we could become like him as he is. And so he begins to instruct them even after he makes the journey and he comes. I'm going to start out in Luke, at the end of Luke 24 this morning. I just want to share some things about Pentecost. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. And it happens 50 days after Passover and after all of that. And so I just want to share a few things with you this morning. But he begins to sit with them in the house, and he begins to break bread with them, and he begins to bless that bread, and he gives the bread. And the scripture says, and their eyes were open in the breaking of the bread. When we come together in the house, when we come in this place in fellowship, there is a breaking of bread, amen, that we begin to eat of who he is, and there's a fulfillment of the body of Christ that becomes who we are. And you know, we've been sharing about even in the communion that when we take that bread and we take that wine, it is if we are taking the body and the blood of Jesus and saying, everything that you did, everything that you paid for is enough. Amen? And so we become as he is. How many know God's desire from the beginning of creation in the book of Genesis was, let us make man in our image, that we could come to them and commune with them and fellowship with them. Amen. When God begins to bring them out of Egypt and the Exodus. He says, build me a house, build me a tabernacle. He gives the plan to Moses. He said, build me a tabernacle, a tent of meeting, that I can come and dwell among my people. How many know it wasn't about getting us from here to there? It was about getting to heaven to operate in the earth. Come on, somebody.
Yep.
That heaven's principles, heaven's guidance could operate not just there, but here. How many believe that you can walk in heavenly places right here in the now and now? Come on, that was pretty good. Amen. That we can have walk in heavenly places right here and right now. Amen. I mean, there are circumstances that we will walk through that are difficult. They're hard. How many know grief is sneaky? Grief is hard. Mourning, loss is hard. Sickness, medical issue, those things are hard. They're difficult to walk through. But Jesus promises that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, and your rod and staff brings me comfort. I mean, are thankful for the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus begins to talk to his disciples on the night of his decease and the night of the Passover, and he said, I will not leave you, what? Comfortless. But I will send the Comforter. Amen. I will send the Comforter. I will. Another translation says, I won't leave you orphans. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to leave you at all. But I'm going to come. I and my Father are going to come, and we're going to take up our abode in you.
Yeah.
So not only are you going to have walked with me, but we're going to come and live in you. You are a holy habitation. Do you know today that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are where God dwells. You are the place that Emmanuel, God, is God with us. God begins to speak again. Angel Gabriel comes to Joseph, comes to Mary, said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that thing that is born in her is of the Holy Ghost, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. He's the God with us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God's desire has always been to fellowship with his people, to dwell with his people. You know what makes God happy? When you dwell with him. When you pause for a moment, and when you begin to encounter his presence, to spend time with him, I'm going to tell you, there is something that happens when you pause in your daily schedule and let God speak to you. Can we say amen? And he will speak in all kinds of ways. He's sneaky. He'll slip in at the Walmart while you're standing in line. He will show up on your job. He will come to your college dorm. He will come to wherever you are. And the more you think you run from God, the more you find out you're going to run right smack dab into him, because that's how much he loves you. Amen. Anybody ever encountered that? The more I thought I distanced myself, the more I realized he was drawing me back in. The more you think you're walking away from that upbringing and think, oh, well, you know, I'm off by myself now. I don't have to do that because we did that at home, but I don't have to do that now. And all of a sudden, God shows up. And then he shows up again. And he shows up again because he's a very present God. And because he cares more about your end result than you do. Somebody ought to shout on that one. He cares more about you getting to the end of your destiny and your calling than sometimes we do. Amen. So he begins to talk to them, and he said, you're not going to understand everything that I'm saying. You're not going to get it all. But he said, I want you to go to an upper room. Go ahead and bring up at scripture in Luke. I mean, Pentecost was the birthplace of the church. It's where they took the church outside the temple, outside the synagogue, outside the traditions, outside the rules and regulations of even the Jewish culture, and began to encounter Jesus in the way that they had never encountered him before. I want you to think about this for a minute. There was 120 people that obeyed God and went to church. He said, go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. You know, I think the thing that we lack in church and in our relationship is the ability to tarry. The ability to linger. Amen? I mean, we get nervous if God's not just doing something every minute. Or if it gets quiet in the service or something, and we don't know what to say yet, we'll just figure something out. We'll make something up because we can't have blank spots, right? Yep. I mean, some of the most precious moments are the moments where you just linger. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many know that is a scripture that I have held on to many times? Lord, I wait on your presence. I wait on you. How many know Lazarus had been dead 4 days before Jesus ever got there, and yet he still wasn't late? He said, because what you don't understand, Mary, and what you don't understand, Martha, is I am the resurrection, and I am life. I want to tell you that when God steps in the dead seasons of your life and where it seems like it's missed your moment or missed your opportunity, he steps into the dead seasons of your life and he begins to call your name. There's something happens when God begins to call your name in that place of the grave and you don't have any choice to come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And then he said to the multitude, you loose him and let him go. I mean, we have the ability to loose the bonds of boundaries and bondage that people were in by the power of your words. When you begin to speak life, there's something that happens, and we begin to unwrap the layers of our life, of our history, of our upbringings and our backgrounds. And I don't care what you have been told up to this point of who you are or who you're not. You are who God says you are. And I want to unwrap that today. If you've thought anything else, unwrap that bondage and realize you are the called, you are chosen, you are anointed, you were born for such a time as this. And when we begin to hear those things, it begins to cause those bands of bondage to drop from us when he begins to call us forth out of those places. Jesus gives strict instructions to the disciples. He said, I want you to go to an upper room. In Luke 24:44, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. How many know those things that were prophesied from the beginning have come to fulfillment and completed concerning me? Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission or removal of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, what? Until you be endued with power. Somebody say power.
Power
from on high. How many know Jesus told them to go into the upper room and tarry or wait or linger until you receive the promise of the Father and you be endued with power from on high? Go on with me to Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, one of the miracles that happens in the upper room on the day of Pentecost is that they're all in one accord in one place. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. Another miracle is when he tells them to walk around the walls of Jericho and don't talk. How did you get that many people not to talk? They are getting brave, aren't they, Jason? They're getting brave. How did you get them? Now, he said, I want you to walk around the door out of Jericho, and I don't want you to make a sound. Do you ever, your parents ever say, sit down and don't say a word, and you're like, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm not sitting down on the inside, and I got a whole lot of words, but I'm not letting them come out of my mouth. Walk around these walls of Jericho and don't say a word for 6 days. But on the seventh day, how many know on the seventh day when he said, it's time to shout, they had a whole lot of things to shout about on the seventh day. But I want to tell you, sometimes we do too much talking and not enough listening. And so they were all in one accord in the upper room on the day of Pentecost that was fully become. They had been there for 10 days. And he said, and suddenly, see, there's something that happens when we become in a house of assembly and we become in one accord, one mind, one relationship, one heart. And when we truly come to encounter the presence of the Lord, there's something that it stirs the heavens. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. All the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and to speak with other tongues. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, and where we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What is happening here? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing is the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Or preach and prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. Notice here he is saying all of these things, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, but he's saying that in that day, in the upper room, to the people who were there, in this day, this is going to happen because I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden by death. Death could not hold him. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift, everybody say gift, of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, that they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Jesus says to them, tarry in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. That power, that word power there is dunamis. It's the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I want you to be endued with power from on high. Tarry there until you receive the promise of the Father. How many know the scripture said it came like a mighty rushing wind and it filled the house? Hallelujah. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it is the prophetic promise of Joel that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Joel takes great pains to say your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your handmaidens and your servants are going to speak the words. God began to pour out the anointing power of the Holy Spirit in an upper room on the day of Pentecost when 120 people with one mind were willing to tarry and be in one accord and wait until the power of the Holy Spirit would set upon them. I thought about this as we were going into Pentecost Sunday last week. I thought about what if you were invited to that service and you decided that was the Sunday you wanted to sleep in and you missed church. And 120 people get filled with the Holy Ghost, start a revival where 3,000 souls get saved into the kingdom. Now, Carson's not in here, but he's into statistics. I don't know what the ratio is between 3,000 souls and 120 people, but that's a pretty good first revival service, if you ask me. Amen. I mean, no, the purpose of God is always to bring men unto repentance. And not only did he said it's going to be preached to all nations, not just the Jew, not just in the synagogue, not just in the temple, but whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Yeah. Jew and Gentile, male and female, men and women encountered the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? It is our comforter. He said, I'll not leave you comfort. He said, it will lead and guide you into all truth. It is reflection. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. How many know the comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit will always point to the work of Jesus? So that if you're ever trying to wonder what is truth, if it does not point you back to the finished work of the cross, then it might not be truth. Amen? It is that still small voice. People say, well, I had a little devil sitting on my shoulder. I had a little angel sitting on my shoulder. No, you don't. You have the infilling power of the Holy Spirit that when you say, what must I do? There's a voice inside you that will quicken and say, this is the way. Walk you in it. Hallelujah. I was on a trip not too long ago. I went down to see my daughter. I was traveling by myself. And I had to make a stop, and I pulled into a place, and I paused for a moment. There weren't a lot of cars around. It did not feel right. Something spoke to me and said, just keep on going down the road. I stayed in my car. I went on down the road. I found a spot that felt comfort to me. Was it my imagination? Don't matter, because I didn't stop. and I'll never know the end result of that. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, don't go there, don't do that, don't say that, don't speak that, don't receive that, you don't go there, because if you will obey that still small voice inside of you, he says, I will take you to places, I will protect you, I will be your rear guard, I will be your guiding light, I will be the voice that will speak to you. Now, I'm going to tell you what, when you get ready to go into that job interview, Holy Spirit, have your way. You get ready to go in that doctor's office for a diagnosis, Holy Spirit, you speak today. You get ready to deal with a situation in your marriage, your children, your classroom, your doctor's office, whatever. I'm going to tell you, Dr. Liza will tell you, the Holy Ghost will speak to you and tell you and tell you where to look for info, or tell you and help you figure out diagnose it. It is the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. Hallelujah. We sometimes get confused in the speaking in tongues and other tongues. And I just want to tell you, it's not spooky. It's not weird. It is a prayer language that when you begin to get into a place, and that place don't have to be in a prayer closet. It can be on your lawnmower. It can be behind your steering wheel on the way to work. When you begin to pray and you begin to release the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, it will fill your car, it will fill your house, it will fill your heart, to all of a sudden circumstances start to shift and you're thinking, I'm not going that direction, I'm going to let the Holy Ghost speak. Hallelujah. And so we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is simple as receiving and say, Lord, give me. He said, it's a gift. It is a gift. One of the things that will happen at church camp, kids getting touched and filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is a gift that you receive. You don't have to be holy enough. You don't have to be righteous enough. If you were holy enough and righteous enough, you wouldn't need it. Because that's what it comes to, reprove and convict and convince you of your righteousness. Hallelujah. And I can only tell you from my experience, I know the power of the Holy Spirit to fill and to speak. But not only is it your prayer language, but it also is the comforter. It's your guidance. We're not just without God's Spirit in our life. I believe there's a God-shaped void in every one of us that can be filled with nothing other than the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't understand it, it's okay. Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to share it with you. I'll just share you a couple quick stories. This morning, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was at a church meeting in Great Cacapon over the hill. And I think me and Sharon Terry all got filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. I was about 8 years old, and I just remember praying and crying, and I remember the presence of the Holy Spirit. I remember realizing I was speaking in tongues as an eight-year-old child, that God filled me with the Holy Spirit there in that place and has been a part of my life. I remember my dad desiring the Holy Spirit. Said, man, they were saved in the Nazarene church, and they knew the Nazarene. Then they started hearing about this thing, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they began to seek after those things. My mom went to the altar one night. She said, I want the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My aunt walked up with her, and they went to lay hands on my aunt and said, do you want it too? They said, oh, no, she does. She wants it. You know, she wasn't too sure about it. She said, well, wait, see if she gets it, and I'm going to see what happens, and then maybe I'll take it. Because how many know sometimes we make it mystical and we make it scary? It's nothing more than the presence of God that fills our heart. And the evidence is what our prayer language that comes with that. My dad was seeking after, and he said, I don't know if I got it or not. I don't know if I'm speaking what somebody else is saying. I don't know if I got it or not. And my Aunt Eva said, well, sit down here. It was at my grandmother Ethel's house, I believe, and Eva was there. And she said, well, sit down here beside me. She said, you just go ahead and just pray in the Holy Ghost. And if it's the real thing, I'll tell you. And he just started to be released, and the power of the Holy Spirit came on him. And he began to pray in tongues, and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, there's something that shifts in the atmospheres of your life when the Holy Spirit begins to be first and foremost. For a man who came from the background that he did, got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you know his story, it's a God story. And the generations of the earth have been changed because a man said, save me, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want all that you have. for me. I want to tell you there's an encounter and a presence that we can step in with God that is precious. But one of the other things is beautiful. It says they heard them speak in their own language, and they did not speak. They all spoke Galilean, the scripture says. I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost will do beyond your prayer language. And I believe in speaking tongues, and I believe in your prayer language. But what it will cause you to do is be able to communicate and speak a language that other people can receive and understand. What do you mean by that, Pastor Lisa? It'll help you speak teenager. Because if you don't know that already, that's a different language. Amen. Come on, somebody. It'll help you speak in your marriage. It'll help you speak on your job. When you're not sure how much you can talk about Jesus on your job or whatever, I'm going to tell you, it'll give you the words and the wisdom to speak. It will empower you in situations. And I've told this story before. I want to just tell it real quickly. The times of the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was out one day and I had decided I was going to do a real little retail therapy. I was going to Winchester. I was going to shop, and something just spoke to me and said, go home. I was like, you know what? I knew it was the Holy Ghost when they said, don't shop, just go home. I mean, I knew God was speaking, right? And so, and my husband, he was interceding on my behalf. And so I knew to go home. I just thought, you know what, I'm going home. I just don't feel to go. And I went home, and I promise you, I hadn't even walked into my house, put my keys down in my purse, and the neighbor called, the phone rang, and said, my son is dying of cirrhosis of the liver, and I need you to come. Now, I was not their pastor. Dan had worked for them. We were friends. And I set my purse down, and I said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. I didn't have time to grab my Bible. I didn't get my notes from my preacher's manual. I didn't have any cheat sheets. I got in my car. I went down. When I got out of my car, I heard the man crying in pain, and my knees buckled, and I said, God, you're going to have to help me in this situation. I walked down that brick patio and into that house, and I come up to the young man, and I said, I'm here to pray for you. His family is weeping. They know he's about to pass. He's weeping. And I walk into that room, and I said, I want you to know God does not hold your sins to you, that today you can be saved, receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus will welcome you in, and he forgives you of your sins. He was not able to repeat after me the sinner's prayer, but I prayed it for him. I prayed over him. And I'm going to tell you, the presence of the Holy Spirit came in that room. I felt it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. He calmed into a peace. There was a presence that came over him, and he took his last breath, and he passed. His mom, his dad, his sister started to weep. They said the thing he struggled with the most is he had made mistakes in his life, and he did not know if God would forgive him. But when you told him God would forgive him and receive him into his arms, peace came to him, and the Holy Spirit filled that room. I want to tell you, there is a peace, there is a power that you can be endued from power with power from on high, that when you step into a situation and you don't know the answer and you don't know the end from the beginning and you don't know why you're there or how you ended up in that line or how you ended up on that staircase or with that person, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost starts to happen. The girls shared a little thing on their podcast the other day. We were in Tennessee. We met a man in an elevator. And he said, oh, where's the beauty pageant today? And we said, hey, we're not going to a beauty pageant, but thank you anyway. But we said, we're here for a women's conference. And we began to share Jesus with that man in that elevator and prayed with him in a parking lot and connected him to the podcast, A Word of Deliverance. And we looked at each other and said, this is why we came to Tennessee. The conference is just extra, but this is the assignment that God sent us on. Go and tarry. Just wait. Ponder. Be in stillness before the Lord and trust him to do something incredible in your heart and in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, you might think, oh, I said something, I did something, he's not there with me anymore. Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, he is. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. That when you take that last breath, or you are in sorrow or mourning or sickness or whatever it might be, you can call out. There's times when I have not known how to pray other than just to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the scripture tells us that when we pray in the Holy Ghost, that it speaks and utters groanings that we can't even understand. But heaven knows what we need even before we ask. 120 people, 3,000 souls. Just imagine what Word of Deliverance could do if we would get in one room, in one accord, and tarry and let the Holy Ghost speak. How many know it is Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. He's not the same man he was 50 days ago. He stands up on a boldness and says, men and brethren, this is not what you think, but this is fulfillment of what the prophet Joel spoke. And God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And it is for everybody, everywhere. And it is precious and it is valued. And it will change your heart and your mind if we will allow it to do so. Amen. Pentecost is not a place. It's not a date on a calendar. It is an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I can tell you more stories of moments where I've stood and literally felt the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit come over me to the point it shocked me and said, oh, that's it. That's the presence. That's the anointing that he speaks of. Amen. And we can live and operate in that. It is a gift. And it is for all of us to receive. And when we seek after that, all we have to do is open our hearts and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive. And he pours out his spirit on all flesh. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can receive it right where you are. You can receive it here at the altar. You can receive it at Grandma's rocking chair, church cam. All you have to do is open your heart and receive. So, Lord, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your anointing. Hallelujah. As Beth begins to play today, if you have a desire to receive anything from the Lord today and you want us to pray for you, we would love to do that. If you are watching online, I pray that the Holy Spirit fills the room where you are. That you feel the touchable, tangible presence of his anointing and his goodness in your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.